Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bucks never stop here. You're listening to Green and Growing, hosted by Sparky Pfeiffer and Nathan Marzion.
Hey, it's the Sparky Pfeiffer, 1250 AM The Fan, along with our guy Nathan Marzion, late night. What do they say? Bucks After Dark, whatever they say about these things. I'm not sure. Quite literally, probably the latest Green and Growing podcast we've recorded, Nathan and myself, 1235 in the morning. But it's worth it. The Bucks shocked the world and get the victory over the Pacers 115-92 earlier this evening here on Tuesday night. Game six now Thursday night at Indy, 5:30 p.m. tip-off for that one. If there is a game seven, and if the Knicks and Pacers also play a game seven, game seven in Milwaukee looks to be the second game on Saturday night, which means probably another 8:30 or 9 o'clock tip time coming up on Saturday night in Milwaukee if it gets to a game seven and if the Knicks and Pistons also do. Now, if they don't, the Knicks and Sixers don't get to a game seven, then it looks like the Bucks probably would have a 6 o'clock tip time on Saturday night if it gets to a game seven. First off and foremost, Mr. Marzion, you were just a Twitter machine tonight throughout this game. I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. Go ahead, exude your exuberance and joy over what you just witnessed the Bucks do, which is, I think, pretty much shocked the world, because I don't think a lot of people thought the Bucks would win this game without Giannis and without Lillard.
That was one of the more impressive wins I've seen from a team, you know, in a playoff game in quite some time, just with how shorthanded they were, your back's against the wall. Everyone's kind of just like ready for this season to end and kind of just felt like, okay, this is pretty much it. Once Giannis and Dame were announced as out, you know, all right, season's pretty much over. And for them to come out and not only win, but win in convincing fashion and really just destroy the Pacers in this game for the final three quarters. I mean, the Pacers were up like 10 early, but from that point on, I mean, they absolutely destroyed them. And just a super fun game to be at. That energy in that place was fantastic. I thought it was the best crowd of the series so far, which is funny given that, like, going into the game, I was expecting this might not be a great crowd because, you know, late game, they're down 3-1, you know, Giannis and Dame not playing. You were like, I think people kind of just gonna be giving up on this team, but the place was going crazy and just awesome to see them come out and have the fight that they did. And it was the same. I mean, I know the result was different, but in game four, I felt the same way. They came out in game four and looked really good for being without their top two players, their two superstars. They were down five, I think, in the fourth quarter of that game, you know, on the road without Giannis or Dame. And that was super impressive to me. Like, we were going to do a post game at first after that game. And I was going to have nothing negative to say. I was like, I know they just lost and they're down 3-1 and that sucks. But I'm like, game four was a positive to me where they hung in that game. They showed that they can fight without their two best players. They showed that they can hang without their two best players and with Bobby Portis getting ejected as well. And so, you know, again, now for them to do this, it shows that even if Giannis and Dame don't play in game six, the Bucks have a chance. You know, they shouldn't be favored. There shouldn't be, I'm not expecting them to win if those guys aren't playing, but they're going to definitely have a chance and they can hang with this team, you know, regardless of whether those two players play, you know, because Chris has been just phenomenal the last three games. And then Bobby was huge tonight. Pat Bev was huge tonight. Pat Connaughton was huge tonight. Malik Beasley was huge tonight. There were just so many guys that stepped up that you which you need, you know, when you're missing your top two guys and you're not a deep team, you need some guys unexpectedly to have some good games. And they got that tonight. But first and foremost, I mean, Chris Middleton deserves so much love for his last three games. 42-10-5 on Friday and the loss. Really wish they could have got that win for him, but I'm glad that they got this one because he deserved at least one win in these last three games with how he played. So yeah, 42-10-5 on Friday, 25-10-5 on Sunday, and now 29-12-5 tonight. This is exactly what you need your number 2/3 to do when he's called upon and when, you know, there are injuries and when he has to be thrown into the fire as the number one option. Is he needs to step up and lead the charge. And that's exactly what he's done. So I just really hope people can finally respect. I don't know if the 2021 title run and finals performance didn't do it, but then I don't know if it ever will for people, but I just really want them to appreciate Chris Middleton, what he does, how good he's been in the playoffs. This is going on like 5 years now of him averaging like 23-5-5 in the playoffs. So just cannot say enough good things about him and how good he's been. So many good things from tonight. And regardless of, you know, if they win game six, I just am very proud of this team for coming out like this and showing so much fight without their two best players and without Giannis, you know, from game three on, game three, four, and five, they've played really well.
All right. You said a lot. So now we're going to go through and kind of nitpick this all apart of what you led with. First off, let's go back to the last game. I agree with you. I said it on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Probes postgame show served up by Wendy's after that game. I was proud of that Bucks team. I was. And people could be upset all they wanted, but I was very proud because they easily could have just said, all right, well, this isn't our year. And, you know, it is what it is. We're not our two stars. This just isn't going to work. And then when Bobby Portis gets kicked out, they really could have quit and said, now we're really screwed. Now it's just not going to happen. And to still be there and have a chance in the fourth quarter with a few minutes to go before the Pacers finally pulled away said a lot to me about the character of that basketball team, the grit of that basketball team, the fight of that basketball team. That was all good stuff. Now, that did not change my opinion coming into this game that I thought they were going to get beat just because I didn't think they had enough talent to compete with Indiana if Indiana was right. I said it on Wisconsin Sports Daily here at weekday afternoons, 2-5 on the Fan, that the only way I saw the Bucks winning this game was if Indiana got cold shooting from three. If that happened, I thought they would have a chance to win the game. And in the first quarter, they were not cold, but they got ice cold from the second quarter on. And it was similar to game one in Milwaukee where they couldn't buy a 3-point shot to save their life. And it was the same thing that happened quarters two till about midway through the fourth quarter. They couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't hit an outside shot no matter what happened. And even at the end of the game, they were still jacking threes, not because they thought they had a chance to win, but because for confidence, they wanted to see the ball go in. McConnell has been lost in this series. TJ McConnell has been lost for the Pacers. He really needs to see the ball go in because he has not hit anything in quite some time. You know, Halliburton had the assists and all that, but offensively, he wasn't as much of a force as he has been the last couple of games. So that was positive for the Milwaukee Bucks. Miles Turner looked more like the Miles Turner I know and love, shooting up bricks on jump shots. So that looked more like what we've seen. Now, that last game in Indiana, they made 22 threes, man. They don't make 22 threes normally. So they played really well, and they had to play as well as they did, and Miles Turner had to play as well as he did, playoff high, I believe, for Turner in that last game, in order to beat your team without Lillard and Giannis. So now you come back tonight, and not only do you win, you pull away and you win in that game. You brought up Middleton and all the love that should be shown towards Middleton. You follow everybody on Twitter, I'm pretty certain. But do you follow Mr. Marzian at NBA_University on Twitter?
Yes, I actually just saw what they put out recently. Okay,
170,000 followers, so they've got quite a few followers. Chris Middleton shot 58.5% in the mid-range this season, 6% better than MPJ second, and 7% better than KD third. Now shooting over 60% from the mid-range in the playoffs, dude was built to get tough buckets against tough defense. per NBA.com, Chris Middleton had the best mid-range field goal percentage of any player, minimum 100 field goals attempts in the database since the 96-97 season. All-time mid-range season getting even better in the playoffs. Magical stuff. All that to say, Chris Middleton is good. This is a neutral account. As far as I know, this is not a Bucks account. There's 170,000 followers. They tweet about everybody. That is a huge stat to talk about. And I was having a conversation, I forgot who with today. Somebody at my kid's baseball practice, one of the dads. And we were talking about Middleton's mid-range game. And I said, it reminds me of Glenn. Big Dog Robinson, who was back then one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA when Big Dog was playing. It was just pure. It was pretty. It was everything you want. And in today's NBA, where you frown upon the mid-range shot and you want it to be threes or dunks, and that's all you want, the fact that Middleton is still doing it his way, despite Bud not wanting him to back when he first got here, is a huge kudos to him and to the Bucks and Doc Rivers for allowing him to play to his strength, Nathan.
Yeah, and this is something, I mean, this was from the get-go this year. He was lights out. I think I remember tweeting, like, in the first couple weeks of the season, I was like, it's a small sample size, but he's shooting like 70% on mid-range shots. Like, it's been nuts. He's number one in the league. And I was like, it's not going to keep up like this, but it almost has. He has been lights out all season on the mid-range. He shoots super contested ones, and they still go in. Every time he shoots a mid-range shot, I think it's going in. And that's just an awesome player to have on your team. That's a huge player to have in the playoffs when you need tough buckets. You need someone that can just go get a tough bucket. And Bobby Portis can do that too. I think he helps as well in that regard where, you know, obviously he'll go through his stretches where he can't hit anything and he struggles, but he has moments where, like, he's a tough bucket getter as well. And you need guys like that. You can't just have guys that thrive hitting open spot up threes, because you're not always going to get those in the playoffs. You know, Grayson Allen is a perfect example of that, but to have a guy like Chris Middleton who can get buckets off the dribble with a hand in his face, contested fadeaways, whatever you want, he'll get you those buckets. And yeah, he has been incredible at them all year. Always been something he's good at, but like this year, he's taken it to a whole nother level. And it's something that, like, when he came back from injury last year in January, and people were worried about, you know, oh, is he going to be the same? Is, you know, he coming off those injuries and surgery, and like, I don't know how good to expect him to be. And I'm like, he's always been a guy that he doesn't need a ton of athleticism. He doesn't need to blow by people. He doesn't need to have great quickness. As long as, now, obviously it hurts him a little bit on defense, but offensively, that dude just needs to get to his spots and be able to shoot over people, and he can hit anything he wants. And that's shown this year. Like, he doesn't have the same speed. He doesn't have the same quickness, and he never really has had a ton of that, but he still just can put up his 20 a game and shoot lights out from mid-range, regardless of, you know, what the defense looks like and how he's being defended, because he's been hitting so many tough shots. And I think I saw a tweet where it was like, player shot quality versus their, you know, field goal percentage or whatever it was. And Chris had like the lowest shot quality in the playoffs of any player, but like one of the highest field goal percentages or effective field goal percentages. I don't remember what the stat was of those players. So it was just showing that, like, he's taking super tough shots and yet he's still scoring more efficiently than almost anyone, which is just a testament to, again, how impressive the shots he makes are. So yeah, it's just been fantastic. And like you said, as far as the Pacers go, you know, with their shooting and everything like that, yeah, they went cold. They were 6 of 11 to start the game, and then I think they finished 6 of 27 in the final three quarters ish. The Bucks did, I think, a much better job in those final three quarters of taking away the three and not giving them just a ton of easy looks like they did in the first quarter. Something that I notice is like different from what I'm used to with Bud, where with Bud, it's more like, we're just going to trust that they're going to cool off. We're going to trust that it won't keep up like this. And I thought Doc did a better job of changing the defense a little bit, going with some different smaller lineups to try to...
More switching too.
Yeah, more switching, trying to change things up. They played a little bit less of Brook, a little bit more of Gallinari, more Bobby Portis. They had, you know, Malik Beasley was in there a lot. Obviously, Pat Connaughton was in there a lot. Like, they actually went away from the young guys, but the vets played great. And, you know, again, all those guys, Patrick Beverley, Pat Connaughton, Bobby, Malik, all those guys played great. Even Gallinari wasn't terrible. So I like what Doc did as far as, you know, changing things up a little bit. And I also think in this series, I know this is the first game they've won since game two, but since game two, I mean, Pascal Siakam has been nowhere near as dominant as he was in those first two games. I mean, he had 36 and 37 the first two games, and in the last three, he's had 17, 13, and 12, and just has been, you know, much held in check, much, much more. I know they're doubling a little bit more and they're changing up their defense, and that's something you have to do. That's something, you know, that's part of being in a playoff series and giving yourself a chance, is to adjust on the fly, change things up, and not just let things, you know, again, this is what Bud was notorious for, was just kind of letting stuff happen and believing that, okay, it'll change with time and it's not going to keep up this way. No, Doc has changed things up, and Doc has gotten the ball out of his hands a little bit more after those first two games. So again, credit to him there. And so plenty of positives right now to talk or to look at, even just going forward. Again, even if they lose game six, like, there's positives from this playoffs to take away regarding Doc, regarding Chris Middleton, regarding, you know, if you bring back Patrick Beverly, Bobby Portis just had a big game. Like, there's plenty of positives to go around that you can take long term here.
Oh, thank you. Because this is going to lead into our next segment. Thank you very much. Take a quick time out. Download Green and Growing on your Odyssey app, or if you download your favorite podcast app, check us out on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page. We got to talk about Bobby Portis, man. I mean, this is Nathan Marzion's guy. He's had a target on Bobby Portis for the last 2 years. Bobby Portis in the playoffs. I don't care about Bobby Portis in the regular season. I don't care what he does. All I care about is Bobby Portis in the playoffs, and Bobby Portis don't do anything in the playoffs. That's why I want to trade Bobby Portis. That's all I've heard for 2 years about Bobby Portis not being good in the playoffs. All right, let's see what Nathan Marzion has to say next here on the Green and Growing Podcast. Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM, The Fan, host of Wisconsin Sports Daily, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. And, of course, the Potawatomi Sportsbook Probes postgame show, served up by Wendy's, as is Wisconsin Sports Daily. Both are served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM, The Fan. Follow me on Twitter at Sparky Radio. Nathan Marzion is over there. You can follow him at Nathan Marzion. And it is time to talk about Bobby Portis. See, I did the postgame show, and it's fun, but I'll be honest, I knew we were doing this podcast tonight. I could not wait to get off the air and get to Nathan Marzion and hear his thoughts on Bobby freaking Portis, who tied for the team lead in points, threw up a double-double, played under control, the whole thing. But I have a feeling if we would have done this the last game, you would have been off your rocker mad at Bobby Portis after he got booted out of that game 7 minutes in. So since we didn't do one the last game, I want to go back. Where were you after the last game? Thoughts on Bobby Portis, and where are we now?
See, yeah, that's the thing, is it's hard because I am thrilled at the game Bobby Portis had today. I am never going to root against Bobby Portis when he's on my team. I am going to root hard for him to succeed. I always have every time.
Drop the hammer on him, folks. Get ready. He's setting me up.
I'm not setting him up. All I'm saying is, if you act like, again, as of, what was it, 5 hours ago, I had been right about Bobby Portis. I had a lot of people on Twitter telling me, like, hey, I've come around to your side because he has struggled in the postseason so far in those first four games, and gets ejected in game four when he could not afford to get ejected. I know he put up decent numbers in the first three games when he looked at his box scores, you know, double doubles and everything, but watching the games, it was pretty clear, like, he was really struggling, had some really dumb moments offensively, missing some easy shots, and then defensively he was a disaster. And it was just like, this is why he's not impactful in the playoffs. Like, this is showing what this is what I've been trying to tell you. So as of 5 hours ago, I was right. And now he had a fantastic game tonight, and I want to give him a ton of credit because 29 points, 14 to 24 from the field, 10 rebounds. Like, that's what we needed from him. And that's what I was like, if they're going to win this game, if they're going to win any games without Giannis or Dame, you need Bobby Portis to step up. And he did. And this is part of what was so frustrating about him getting ejected in game four was, you know, he has the capability when Giannis and Dame are both out to put up 25 points, 30 points. And it was like, how can you get ejected 7 minutes into the game? Like, that's what made that so frustrating. But again, he was fantastic. Huge bounce back game from him. And does it change, like,
as of right now, has my opinion changed on him?
No, I'm not going to let one game change my opinion on him. Now, if he did this several games in a row, or, you know, really was playing well consistently, if we go deeper in the playoffs, whatever, yeah, my opinion might change. But so far, I mean, I still think most of the time, and he's always had a, you know, he's had some good playoff games. It's not like he's never had a single good playoff game in his career, but I just have always been like, overall, in the grand scheme, I don't think he's a very impactful playoff player most games. So I still feel that way. He can have games. I still like think at any point he can put up 25, 30 points, but, and, you know, need to see a little more consistency from him. But tonight was a fantastic bounce back game. And if he can continue that for game 6 and 7, you know, that's absolutely huge. And that will definitely help shift my opinion of him a little bit.
Nathan Marzion, of the role players that played well tonight, Beasley, Bobby Portis, I'll throw playoff Pat in there for you because you like him, Pat Beverly, those four guys.
League two. Who? Or you said Beasley. Sorry.
Beasley, yeah. Of those four guys, who's most likely to duplicate the performance again coming up game 6 Thursday night, 5:30 tip down in Indiana?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I feel like, I mean, and I've said this several times where I just feel like it's kind of almost a roulette spin of like who's going to play well of the role players, or who's going to, you know, have a decent game. And there's everyone's so inconsistent, you know. Bobby Portis will look great and then suck. You know, Pat Bev will look fantastic and then be useless the next game. Malik Beasley will put up, you know, hit 5 threes and then the next game he can't even be on the court. So it's so tough to say. I would probably say Bobby.
Because
I don't trust, like, I don't know if Pat Bev has the same impact on the road as he does at home as far as getting things hyped up and getting, you know, there's all that dirty work. Now he can still do that and be impactful, but feel like he gets, it's more at home that he does that. No, and I guess I could say the same about Bobby. Bobby's been way better at home than he has on the road all season and all his whole career. So he could easily go on the road and have a complete dud, but I don't trust Malik Beasley has been, I don't trust that he can keep up what he's doing, or that he's going to get the minutes. Like if Dame's playing, if guys come back, I don't trust that he might play enough to do that. As I said, Pat Bev, I'm not sure. And then Pat Connaughton that was the first game he's really shown any type of spark like that. So again, I'm not going to expect him to duplicate that. I guess Bobby, because I do believe that as long as he stays on the court, he's capable of putting up, I shouldn't say duplicate the performance, but having another good performance. Like he can put up 20 and be serviceable, be a big scorer for you. So I guess I would say Bobby, but none of them am I like, that guy for sure can do that again. It's just, they're so inconsistent. None of these guys are very predictable. Like the only guys that are pretty predictable are Giannis, Chris, and Dame are fairly predictable knowing that what they're going to give you. But pretty much everyone else outside of that has been very unpredictable.
Take another quick timeout. There was great news from Doc Rivers in the postgame presser after the 115-92 victory by the Milwaukee Bucks, and we have to talk about the great news. Actually, I think there are two things that were great news that came from that Doc Rivers presser, and we'll talk about that next year on the Green and Growing podcast. Download it on the Odyssey app, or if you download your favorite podcast app, check us out on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page as well. Hey, it's Sparky, 5 or 12:50 a.m. The Fan, host of the Potawatomi Sportsbook Probes postgame show, served up by Wendy's after each and every Milwaukee Bucks game, as well as Wisconsin Sports Daily, our weekday afternoon show from 2 to 5 p.m., served up by Wendy's on 12:50 a.m. The Fan. Make sure to check out both shows, if you would please. He is Nathan Marzion. Follow him on Twitter at Nathan Marzion. Follow me at Sparky Radio. Bucks get the win in game 5, 115-92. Game 6 Thursday night, 5:30 tip for that one. We'll be on the air with a post-game show immediately following that one on 1250. Let's talk about Doc Rivers' comments after the game. The biggest comment, and you know, and I brought this up on post-game show, as a child, when your parents tell you that there is a very, very good chance that something may happen, you just lock it and go, all right, this is going to happen. This is awesome. If your parents say, nah, we might do that. For me, at least growing up, it was, nah, it's probably not going to happen. They're not really locked in on this at all. So when Doc Rivers says that when asked about Damian Lillard and Giannis and their health and this series getting extended and their chances of playing, the first giveaway was a long pause. He didn't answer right away. Thought about how he wanted to say it. Then said he didn't know what to say. Then said that they are very, very, very close to coming back when talking about Giannis and Lillard. Sorry, as a Bucks fan, I got giddy. I started smiling and I was like, oh boy, Giannis and Lillard back. How does that change things Thursday night if those two guys are back and playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, considering how well the ball movement has been here the last couple of games with them both out? And how roles will change within this team when they both come back on the floor?
Well, if either one comes back, it just takes pressure off of everyone, a ton of pressure off of everyone, because it gives you that lead dog again, the guy that can handle the ball a ton, the guy that will get a ton of, you know, the looks. And again, whether it's Dame or Giannis or both, like even if just one of them is out there, I mean, Dame's going to have the ball a ton, which just takes pressure off of everyone. You don't have to have Patrick Beverley bringing it up a ton, Chris Middleton bringing it up a ton, whatever. And he'll take a lot of shots. And then we know Giannis against this Pacers team has dominated, and he's going to be fed a ton if they play, if he's in the game. So once again, that just means you're not looking at Chris going, we need 25 plus out of you. You're not looking at Bobby going, we need 20 plus out of you. It's like, sure, that would be nice if you guys gave us that on top of what Giannis is going to give us, but it just is so many points and possessions that are just taken off of those guys' plate and onto Giannis's. So, I mean, it definitely brings, I think, a little bit more stability and consistency to the offense, because again, otherwise you're just putting the ball in the hands of these role players who, I mean, again, a lot of guys played great tonight, but do you trust those guys to play great again? Do you trust those guys to play great every time they're on the court? No. And so to go into a game, if you don't have Giannis and Dame again, you're kind of like, okay, we need you guys to give us another game. And that's just not a position you love being in. Whereas you get Dame or Giannis back and it's like, okay, we don't need Malik Beasley to hit 5 threes tonight. We don't need, you know, again, like I said, Bobby Portis to put up 25 or Pat to have a nice game or whatever. Like those things are more bonuses than anything you absolutely need to win. So the margin for error, I guess, just decreases quite a bit, or the margin for error increases quite a bit when you get one of those superstars back, and much more if you get both of them back. And it just takes everyone back to their usual roles and what they're usually expected to do. And that's what's been so impressive about like what Chris has done for 3 straight games is, you threw him into a role where he's not used to, like he's used to it a little bit. He's had moments of needing to do that, but he's not meant to be a number one option. He's not meant to be a guy that is the primary ball handler on the team when he's on the court, but you threw him in that role and he's thrived in it. And, on short notice, not expecting to all of a sudden be thrown into that role, but it's like, okay, Giannis and Dame are all of a sudden hurt. Like I need to do this. And he's been great. So that just makes it even more impressive is him playing a role that he's not really meant to be playing and still thriving in it. So again, just even more props to him. But overall, I just think it getting one or two of those guys back helps a ton just by, again, bringing everyone back to the role or closer to the role that they're meant to be playing offensively.
For me, I think it's all about mental more than anything else. I think if Giannis walks onto that floor, Marzian, The mental screw job that it does to those players is gigantic, because you pointed it out every time they played them. They can't stop them. They haven't stopped them all season long. And now this dude walks out on the floor. You have not had to deal with him. You've not had a game plan for him. Nothing. And now he walks out on the floor with his Superman cape on and says, come try and stop me. And if you can't, everybody around me is going to go off, including Middleton, because he's going to be wide open while you try to stop me going downhill. And say what you want about the calf injury, whatever else, but he hasn't been playing. I mean, so from him being tired or worn down, all that, that's out the window, because he's going to feel fresh coming back onto the floor, having not played in a while here. So maybe he can't give you, 40 minutes in the game. Maybe he only gives you 25 to 30 minutes coming off of this calf strain. Who cares? That is more than good enough. If I had to pick, who do I want back more, Giannis or Lillard? I want Giannis back. They've game planned for Lillard and this crew that's out there. They have not game planned for Giannis in quite some time. I would love to see what that looks like Thursday night if Giannis is back on the floor, even if Lillard isn't with him, Nathan.
Yeah, and Giannis, I mean, it's just the way those two play, the difference in their styles, Giannis and Dame, it's like, if you're telling me which one would you rather have back, I know the Bucks have been better this season when they have Lillard without Giannis than they have when they have Giannis without Lillard. But it's like, if you're talking to me one or two games, who would you rather have in this game? It's like, the consistency of what Giannis gives you is just so much. Like, Dame doesn't have that consistency. And Dame can obviously go off. He can have great games, but you could easily get Dame back and he just, struggles shooting and he's just off and he's not on one that night, and it's not that much of an impact. His being back doesn't help them that much. Whereas it just feels like no matter what, if you get Giannis back, like, he's going to put up, assuming he plays around 30 minutes, like, he's going to put up his 30, 10 and 5, like, no matter what, you're not going to be able to stop it. And so to just have that consistency, have that guy that you're like, I'm 95% sure that this dude's going to be really, really good, because it's just so hard to stop him. And we know that the Pacers have had a tough time stopping him. So that makes it even, more likely you even more confident that he's going to have a big game. So yeah, just having Giannis out there gives you someone that you're like, I'm so confident and so comfortable, with this guy out there and assuming he's going to get 30 points. Whereas when Dame's out there, it's like, I'm assuming he's going to get 20 to 25. I don't know if he's going to have a nice shooting night that gets him to 35, but maybe he could. But again, Giannis is just a much more comfortable bet when it comes to that. So having Giannis back, as you said, the game planning that, like, they haven't had to do yet, that's a big factor, where I know they've played against him, several times in the regular season, but they haven't had to face him yet with this roster as constructed with Siakam. And after making that trade. And so, yeah, I mean, I think throwing a guy that dominant into the middle of a series really throws off the other team. And all of a sudden you're like, we got to switch up the whole game plan. And all of a sudden it might leave holes elsewhere. And all of a sudden you might be overcompensating to defend Giannis and to really focus on him. And that's the thing, is even if, assuming it's not a big risk of re-injury, even if Giannis isn't totally 100% and as you said, can't play full minutes, if you can just throw him out there 25, 30 minutes as not a decoy, but like just to get a ton of attention and to really throw off their defense, it can totally open things up for everyone else and be really, really impactful. So even if Giannis himself isn't able to go crazy, like, just the way it will change that defense and change, as you said, the mentality of the Pacers and their defense, could really pay dividends for everyone else on that team and, help their offense a ton. So I am definitely interested to see what that injury report looks like tomorrow and to see if these guys try to come back, because, this is now the time where if they don't play in this game, it probably tells you this is a lot more serious than we thought. I don't think that, like, to me, if they don't play in this game, I don't know if they'd come back for game 7. Like, I don't know what the huge difference is between this game and game 7. Cause to me, if you win this game, you're back in the driver's seat of this series. This is almost like a game 7 to us, where it's win or go home. And if you win, you're in pretty good shape. So if they don't play in this game, I would assume that they're done for the series and they're not playing in a game 7.
If you look at the schedule, there's not a break where, right now, if you win game 7, game 1 of that next series is Monday. Yeah. And then you play again Wednesday, and then you get a couple days off before you play game 3 in New York or in Philly. So that's the next time there's an actual break of a couple of days with this playoff schedule. So that's also something to be considered. The other thing, Marzian, is one other thing, and then we'll wrap it up. This team against the Pacers was struggling with points in the paint. They were struggling rebounding the basketball. They were struggling in transition defense, giving up fast break points. And you look at the last two games, and they're just checking off boxes and taking advantage now. Without Giannis, they win points in the paint. Without Giannis, they win rebounds. Fast break points tonight, they won that category too against the Indiana Pacers. And now you put this beast back on the floor. Points in the paint, they're never going to lose when he's on the floor. So that's a whole nother thing. Rebounding, they're not going to lose when he's on the floor. And as far as transition goes, he gives them the opportunity to not only improve transition defense, but also gives them opportunity to improve transition offense. He kills you in so many ways from being on the floor in areas that you owned, stat categories you own. You've now lost the last couple of games without him on the floor. Now it can be even a more dominant effort from the Bucks. You asked me, when was it? The last time we did a podcast, which was after game three, I think. And at the very end of the podcast, you said, Sparky, if they're down 3-1, but they give Giannis back, do you think they can come back? And I said, yeah, if they get Giannis back and they're down 3-1, yes, I think they can come back. Well, they were down 3-1. They didn't get Giannis back and they got game five. Now, if they get Giannis back, they can absolutely win game six and game seven if Giannis is back. If it's Lillard, I don't know. Giannis, yes, I think they can win game six and game seven. Where are you on both of those two players? If they come back and the other doesn't?
Yeah, I probably feel the same way. I mean, I would say if Giannis comes back, yeah, I think I'm very confident that yep. Like I would almost make them the favorites in the series all of a sudden. Whereas if Lillard comes back, it's like, all right, game six is going to be tough still. And it just would be more of a toss up, you know, and if neither of them comes back, obviously the Pacers are probably still at a little bit of an advantage. But Giannis is definitely, as we said, kind of the more impactful one. But like you said, I mean, it's nice to see some of those things they really were struggling with those first two to three games, you know, get fixed a little bit. Because again, that's something that we're not used to seeing in a playoff series under Bud. Was it just felt like every game was almost the same as the one before, and it was like it didn't feel like they always had a ton of answers for what the other team was doing. But you know, again, for the Bucks to all of a sudden do a better job of defending Siakam, do a better job of rebounding, although not perfect, but still better than they were at the start of the series. Better job of getting back in transition, like all of these things, and a little bit better job getting to the paint, you know, getting looks offensively near the rim. You know, they really struggled doing that in games one and two, I think it was, or at least game two. But now they've had more looks at the rim recently, defending the rim a little bit better. Like they just have touched up all these areas, like you said, kind of checked off some of the boxes of, okay, you know, things we need to fix, and they've done it. It hasn't resulted in a ton of wins, I know, but they've been so competitive in these games. And really, it's like, again, I got to give Doc some credit for, without Giannis, plugging up those holes a little bit and making this thing interesting by being able to make some adjustments and cover your weaknesses. Again, even without your best player, like it's one thing to just get Giannis back and say, okay, Giannis covers 90% of these things and that's all we need to do. But to do it without him coming back is very impressive. And so, again, just another thing I want to give Doc some credit for. And, you know, I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. And I haven't had any huge problems with him in this series. I feel like he's done a solid job.
He is Nathan Marzian. Follow him on Twitter at Nathan Marzian. Follow me at Sparky Radio. Don't forget, Potawatomi Sportsbook Probes post-game show served up by Wendy's immediately following the game. Coming up on Thursday night, game six. Hopefully we'll have Giannis or Lillard or both back. That would make sense. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's weekday afternoons from 2 until 5. Talk Bucks, Packers, Brewers every single day. We're going to sprinkle some Badgers talk in too, I think, before the week is up. As well. Bucks win 115-92, game six, 5:30 tip off on Thursday night. Nathan Marzian, thank you so much, my friend. It was a pleasure. Now time to get some sleep. So you got work tomorrow morning?
Yes, I do.
Oh boy. Yeah, you better get some sleep, son. There he is, Nathan Marzian, C Sparky Pfeiffer. Enjoy the rest of your day. Toodles.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.